I was basically all my arrogance and everything was crushed during that night. I thought that I was a smart student. I thought I was working very hard. In my high school, I was the top three. I could not go into university. So at that night, I cried.
Did you cry alone?
Huh?
Did you cry alone?
I cried alone. I cried alone in the room. And then talking about spiritual, at night, I receive a hearing. Somehow I hear that, don't worry, my grace is sufficient for you. I didn't go to the church at the time. I wasn't spiritual. I didn't understand what it means. But I hear my grace is sufficient. And that delights me. When I woke up, somehow I am more hopeful again. And then on that day, my mom said, I will do my best to get you into this university. Long story short, she at least have the money for me to pay the initial tuition, and I went to the university. My uncle support my study. So that was the early part of hardship that I experienced. That was the first hardship. That was not easy. So from then on, I committed that I need to study hard. I need to get cum laude and I need to work as soon as possible. And I worked along the way during my university to ensure that, I was the fastest student. I graduated very fast, I mean, less than 3.5 years. Got a cum laude, and then I got internship in General Electric. Then I went to General Electric and I started working in a corporate world. There are other hardship, but that was one of the hardest.
Yeah. So let's talk about the transition into the corporate world.
Yeah.
Is the corporate world what you think it was?
When you started from the bottom, corporate world is like heaven. You earn your money.
Yeah.
Right? With that money, you can pay your rent. You can date a girl. You can do whatever you want, right?
Yeah.
So...
Oh, that was the belief system. One of my parents had tried to teach me to just work hard in life. My dad has this mantra. He used to say this a lot. Diligence always pays. He wanted to remind me of hard work. Don't worry about dating. Don't worry about, relationships. You know, when you're successful, those things will come. You know, as a child, as a teenager, I think you just absorb. You're a sponge, right? But the reality of the world is so different.
Yeah.
It's so different. And as I was hearing your sharing, I always had this urgency to do things as soon as possible, to finish all my studies as soon as possible, to go out there and earn money. And I was just like you. I had a choice of choosing between medicine, actuarial, and law. And I chose the shortest one because two of my cousins were doing quite well at insurance companies and they were making big bucks. And I was like, oh yeah, that's probably the path I want to take, the shortest path. And to make money and to climb the corporate ladder. And I suffered for it. I chose actuarial for my first year, had no passion for maths. I studied my butt off and I was cramming for the finals at my best friend's house until 2-3 in the morning, and I went to the bathroom and bang, that was when I got the facial paralysis.
Every decision you make, it has to be conscious. And you know the consequence of that decision.
Don't become autopilot, I guess, when we're making decisions. We do it for the sake of doing.
Yeah.
Right. I've heard this analogy once, and someone once mentioned that relationship is like a bank account. Like sometimes you need to deposit into the relationship, and you know, when you make requests, that is when you're drawing from the bank account.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I also believe that. You're a human being.
Yeah.
We don't live in isolation.
Yeah.
We need other people, right?
Yeah. So am I, right now, am I depositing or am I withdrawing from a relationship?
I think we are depositing to each other.
Yeah, yeah, I think so too. Hey, tell us about your book. You wrote 4 books, you authored 4 books. Mm. Why did you start writing?
Why do I start writing?
Yeah, why did you start writing?
Mm. So my first 3 books was about global career. My mission at the time when I started my first book was to help Indonesian professionals and students to be able to collaborate and compete with professional and students all over the world because of my experience, right, in the past, right? I know a lot of people in Indonesia wants to have this international experience. So I was privileged to have this experience and I want to share it. And that's why it worked very well. I think the book has inspired a lot of students and professionals. Now this fourth book, I collaborate with my ex-boss, David Wee. He is LinkedIn superstar now, but when he started, he only have like 220 followers, I think, including his wife. But he shares something that is valuable. He has now 150,000 LinkedIn followers or something like that. I thought that, hey, David, you have a lot of great advice. Why don't we collaborate together? He forgot that I have written 3 books. So he asked me, have you written books before? I said, yeah, 3 books. Then he just said, okay.
No brainer.
Yeah. And then collaborate on this one. Most of the content was his advice. I helped him to make it a good structure, make it logical. And I also put my personal stories there. And most of his advice are aligned to my values as well. That's why the process of this book was very fun. And I think, it's when people read this, they think it is helpful, like your book.
Can you share maybe a couple of your top career advices that would be applicable for anyone?
Yeah, I think one of the chapters that attract a lot of attention from this book was about introvert and extrovert. So David was introvert, very introvert. I am extrovert, but I am not authentically extrovert also. I think we shared before the podcast that I was also introvert before, but I think my seat is actually extrovert. I love meeting people. I love meeting people. I love talking to people. Meeting with people give me energy. But David was introvert. So in this book, there's a tips for introvert, how they can grow in their career. And I have also given tips from extrovert how they can grow their career. Because sometimes, whether you're introvert or extrovert, there's pluses and minuses. Mm-hmm. Not always that extrovert people get everything that they want. Depending on the context, depending on the situation. If extrovert people working with all these introvert people, they think that extrovert people have no substance, for example. On the other hand, introvert people work in an extrovert environment, then they don't speak. Mm-hmm. Then
it's hard to get the ideas out.
Exactly. That was me when I was management trainee. Right? So, so this book talks about that and many other things.
Yeah. So other than introversion, extroversion?
Micromanagement, for example.
Huge one in Asia, isn't it?
Yes. I don't know somehow why people really want to have that power and micromanage.
Is micromanagement a problem or a solution to performance?
So what I believe, because micromanaging is not my type. I love to put the goals, make the goals very clear, and I will let the people or the team achieve that goals in their own way. I love creativity. But young people, for example, will need guidance, right? So sometimes you need to micromanage, but it's not really micro, it's giving them guidance, giving them advice. They need it, these young people, or if they are new to the organization, for example. But if you are managing senior people and then you micromanage them, it's a sign of distrust, in my opinion. It's demotivating. You're the ethics.
Yeah, the parents are the ethics. The individuals, the kids are the ethics. Mm. So I think as parents, we need to teach them about, you know, how to use technologies, raise kids that have self-awareness about not just technologies, but anything are doing to their well-being. It might not be technologies, it could be drugs, could be sex, could be porn, right? Mm. I never had a cell phone until I was, I don't know, my close to 20, maybe 18 or 19.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, I was a lot more mature then.
Mm.
But then you give a smartphone. Now, a kid, 5-year-old, can have access to a smartphone. Think about how accessible it is for them just to look at porn content at such a young age.
Yeah, all these information, right?
And you know from studies that your brain get wired based on what information you feed the brain, right? So I think if we don't, so we need to parent with intention, I think, just being able to stay present and focus is probably one of the biggest things. Maybe the second thing would be to stop looking at the world as a zero-sum game.
Mm.
Look at our world as net game.
Mm.
Right? We see so much conflicts.
Mm.
And honestly, I think as commoners, I don't think, I should speak for myself, I don't think we want to see conflicts, right?
Mm.
And all these great virtues we're trying to teach our children to solve problems. I think as grown-ups, a lot of us are not walking the talk, right? We're using violence to resolve conflicts where we can all work together to build a much more productive and much more, I guess, peaceful world in my top two.
Mm. Thank you for that. For me, let me try to crystallize this. So,
yeah, I think two things that I purposefully want to instill to my kid. Number one is to teach her to be resilient in life. I think it's very important because I think really the COVID period that we experienced, although we are not living in a country where there's war or something like that, but I think resilience is very, very important because life challenges always happen in every generation, whether it's internal or external. I think without resilience, people will lose hope. So this is what I want to teach my daughter on how to be resilient. See the problem as challenges. See that challenges are normal. And every problem must have solutions. So this one. The second thing, what I want to purposefully teach my daughter is how to exercise wisdom. Every day we are dealing with a lot of decision to make, from a small thing to a big thing, right? I think smart is not enough. Science and facts are not enough. I think really wisdom is very important here.
Mm.
Because with wisdom, you're not just making a short-term decision, but also long-term decision. Something that you decide today may have impact in the future. So this is what I want to teach her, which I think I need to use my own wisdom also.
Yeah. I want to ask you a philosophical question, right?
Mm.
You have this resilience, this ability to adapt to different circumstances in you because you yourself went through challenges.
Yes.
When you were young.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Without putting through our child or children into similar circumstances, similar environment, how could we still teach them to be resilient?
That is an excellent question, right? Because normally as a parent, when you have experienced this hardship, you don't want this to happen to your kids.
Exactly. Right?
However, so this is my current topic. We should not worry that our kids will not have challenges. They will have their own challenges. If they go to school, there will be bullies. there will be a tough headmaster or whatsoever, right? That at school. And that's a, I would say, a controllable and manageable environment. And there will be an unexpected challenge. If our generation is COVID, maybe in the future there will be something else. There will be a new 9/11, new financial crisis or whatsoever.
Yeah.
We shouldn't worry it will not come. It will come anyway.
Yeah.
However, what we can do as a parent is to really develop this mindset that challenges are normal. When you are facing these challenges, what needs to be done? What kind of mindset that you need to have? So I think this is what I want to prepare. And by this conversation, thank you for having this conversation. It really conceptualize the thinking, right? As you grow up, then I want to have, I cannot wait that I can have this conversation with her. Now she's very cute. And
yeah.
I think she tried to understand what I'm saying.
Hey, maybe our children will have a podcast together in the future, right? How cool is that?
Exactly. Right. So, yeah.
Oh, here's to my two boys, Finn and Chase. So make sure you reach out to Uncle Handy. So you guys are going to have a podcast with his daughter someday.
With Heidi. So yeah, so we are making a podcast today. In the future, our kids will have podcasts together.
Yeah.